In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Glory and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, you who have been raised from the dead. Glory and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, you who are no longer in the tomb. Glory and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you have conquered sin. Glory and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you have conquered death. Glory and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you have conquered the grave. Glory and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you have conquered the enemy of our soul. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm looking at the 24th chapter of St. Luke. Now, upon the first day of the week, that was Sunday, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. We have to remember why they could not prepare the spices for Jesus on Good Friday, because it was the Passover, and they could not do any of that work. So they're doing that work now. They're bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. The stone was gone. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Oh my! And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed, therefore, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead?" Oh, yes. Why do you seek the Lord Jesus, who has been raised from the dead, among the dead? He's not in the tomb. I remember the story of a little class that it was like kindergarten class, and it was spring, and the teacher said, "We're going to have show and tell. I want you to bring something that's alive, and we could show it and tell it to each other." So some people brought some blossoms, other people brought dandelions, other people brought other things that were alive, and little Philip brought an egg, and it was cracked open, and nothing was in it. And the teacher said to Philip, "It's supposed to be alive, Philip. What's wrong with you?" And he opened the two sides of the egg and says, "The tomb is empty." Hallelujah. Only a child would be able to do that. The tomb is empty. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, they were much perplexed. Behold, two men stood by in shining garments. "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again.'" Hallelujah. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the eleven and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles, and their words seemed to them as idle tales. They didn't believe it. The apostles didn't believe it. They did not believe the witness of the women. You must remember that in the time of Jesus, women could not give witness because they were women. And here's these women giving witness to the apostles that the tomb is empty, that why do you seek the living one among the dead? And you know what happened? They believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and he departed, wondering to himself at what has just come to pass. he still doesn't believe what has just come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus. It was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. I tell you, they were leaving the community in Jerusalem. Why? Because they thought Jesus was dead. They were going home. They're walking away from Jerusalem, going home. And their wives would say, you know, we told you not to follow that imposter. Why did you do it? And they would say, you know, he's dead. And now I'm back home. And I'm sure they got grief from their family. And they talked together, all of them, about these things that had happened. And it came to pass that while they were communing together and reasoning together, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. But their eyes were closed that they should not know him. The Lord closed their eyes. They could not recognize him because there's a specific reason. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you are speaking one to another as you walk? You seem very sad. And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answered and said unto him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who has not known the things which have come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, what things? He knows what things, because they happened to him. And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and have him crucified. But we had hoped, oh my, we had hoped that it had been he who should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yes, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and they found not the body of Jesus. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. Well, they didn't believe it, these two. How do I know? Because they're walking away from Jerusalem. They're going back home. They're going back home. They didn't believe the women. Women aren't supposed to be witnesses, but the Lord has the women be the witness. I tell you, Jesus was 2,000 years ahead of his time. 2,000 years ahead of his time. That these women become the witnesses of the resurrection, especially Mary Magdalene. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even as the women had said, but Jesus they did not see. Then he said unto them, O foolish and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not that the Messiah had to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures concerning himself. Oh, yes, Lord, would you open the scriptures for us? We need you to open the scriptures for us so that we would know, not only believe, but know that we know. Would you open the scriptures for us? And the scripture says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village where they had been going. And he made as though he was going further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at dinner with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. How did he show himself? Through the breaking of the bread. What is the breaking of the bread? It is the Eucharist. He took bread and he blessed it. And he said, take and eat, this is my body. And then he took a cup filled with wine, and he said, "Take and drink, this is my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Oh, their cry was, "Stay with us, Lord." Our cry should be the same. Stay with us, Lord. It is evening. We need you to stay with us. We have nothing but you, O Lord. Stay with us, Lord. And they said to one another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the way as he opened the scriptures?" Oh, did not our hearts burn within us because Jesus revealed himself through the scriptures? I tell you, the scripture from Genesis to Revelation says Jesus Christ. Oh yes, Jesus the Lord, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? I remember the story of a Jewish man, and this Jewish man was a teacher, and he was an atheist. And there was a little girl in his class that used to go home and weep for him. Oh, yes, weep for this Jewish man. Well, somehow or another, he received a New Testament, and he got to the 7th chapter of John. And when he found about the woman caught in adultery, he didn't read on. He said, "Oh, I can't read on, because if Jesus lets them throw rocks at her, he's not Jesus." But yet the law is not being performed. But he continued to read, and Jesus said, "You without sin cast the first stone." He had his conversion. His heart began to burn within himself as he received the word of God from John 8. Oh yes, Jesus opened the scriptures for us. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit and opened the scriptures for us. We need you to do that. Saying, "The Lord is risen, and he has appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Oh, yes, in the breaking of the bread. As these two men were leaving, they were downcast and sad because they did not believe the testimony of the women. So what does Jesus do? Jesus comes to them in their brokenness, and he keeps them from knowing him. Oh, yes. Why? Because he wants them to know who he is in the Eucharist. Oh, yes. It's very simple. Some people say it's the way Jesus blessed bread. I don't think so. When he, on the night before he died, took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." I tell you, the story of Emmaus is that God wants us to recognize Jesus in the breaking of the bread, in the Eucharist. This is real. Catholics have believed this. Even Episcopals have believed this. And some other people have believed this. They recognized him in the breaking of the bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, "Shalom, peace be unto you." He's always saying this because they're riled up. Shalom. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they were seeing a ghost. And he said unto them, "Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, and behold, it is I myself." Oh yes, these are the trophies, the hands and the feet of Jesus pierced for us. The hands and the feet of Jesus pierced for us. I tell you, this is the whole story, that we would recognize Jesus in the breaking of the bread. "Behold my hands and my feet, it is I myself. Touch me and see, For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands, and he showed them his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have you anything here for me to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and the honeycomb. And he took it, and he ate it before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you. And all the things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. I tell you, we need the Holy Spirit to do that to us, that we would have our minds opened, that we would experience the Lord himself, the Lord himself, because he is the Lord, and he wants to show us that he is the Lord, and that he has been raised from the dead, and that we recognize him in two places. Well, there are more than two places. First of all, in the Word. Hallelujah. Catholics, open your Bibles. In the Word, but in the sacrament, in the Eucharist, to recognize him in the breaking of the bread, in the congregation, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them, in the priesthood, in the priest, and in the poor. Five ways that Jesus reveals himself to us. In the Word of God, my word is truth. In the Eucharist, the breaking of the bread to receive his body and blood. This is the body and blood of the risen Lord in the Eucharist. In the assembly gathered that believes, two or three gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. In the prophet, oh yes, Jesus still speaks through the prophetic. In the prophet, in the priest, so many priests need to have the understanding of their hearts open to the scriptures. And in the poor, we recognize Jesus in the poor. And then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. I tell you, my friends, this is real. This is real. This is real. Jesus Christ is Lord. He has been raised from the dead. And then he says, and he said to them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooves Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are my witnesses of these things. I tell you, we need to be witnesses of Jesus. We need to be witnesses of Jesus. That's what we need to be. Witnesses of Jesus. Witness of his death and resurrection. But you've got to know him in order to witness to him. I talked about this so many times. Evangelization is bringing people to Jesus and Jesus to people. Oh yes, it's not going to church only. It's bringing Jesus to people and people to Jesus. That's what evangelization is all about. When people come to know the Lord, not know about only, but they have a relationship with the Lord who speaks to us through the scripture, the Lord who speaks to us through the prophetic, the Lord who speaks to us through the church. I tell you, this is the real God, the real Lord, the Lord who speaks to us through the Eucharist and through his holy word. You know, people say, but I don't know the word of God. Well, you don't know it because you're not in it. You're not reading it. You're not studying it. Just get back to opening the Word of God and seeing what Jesus has for you. That he says, you are my witnesses of these things. What kind of witness are you? That's what I want to ask. What kind of witness are you? Are you a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ? My friends, I once met these Jehovah Witnesses, and they said they were witnesses of Jehovah. So I said to them, let's look at Acts 1:8. And it says, you shall be my witnesses. After that, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. I said, whose witnesses? They didn't answer. I said, who's speaking? They said, Jesus. I said, whose witnesses? They wouldn't answer. I said, well, let's read it again. You shall be my witness. After that, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. Who's speaking? Jesus. Whose witness? They wouldn't say it. I said, it's Jesus. You're not being honest. I said, I am a witness of Jehovah. And he just happens to be a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, they didn't want to hear anymore. They didn't want to hear anymore. I tell you, that day, something else happened. They said, you believe you're going to heaven. We believe there's only 144,000 in heaven. I said to them, listen to me. We already are seated with the Lord in heavenly places. They said, where does it say that? I said, if I had my Bible with me, I could show you, because it's underlined in Ephesians. With that, the wind blew, and that as it blew, my finger was on, and that you shall be with me in heaven, have your seats in heaven, even as you live. They really got scared about that. I said, you know what? Jesus is touching you. Jesus is opening the scriptures to you. Jesus is telling you that he wants your life. Well, I never saw them again. But they witnessed the theophany that day when the wind blew and says we already have our seats in heaven. That right now, if you're a Christian, you are at the Father's right hand. Right now, if you are a Christian, there is more in store for you, more than just going to church, more than just reading the scriptures. There is power. There is power. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. That's the Holy Spirit. But stay in Jerusalem until you have been endued with the power from on high. Behold, I send the promise of the Father. Oh, come, promise never broken. Come, promise always kept. Come to me, O promise, and be fulfilled in me, and be fulfilled in those you are sending me to. Jesus said this promise, who is God, he was pleased to be fulfilled as the greatest promise. Come, come. I yearn to walk the depths of this promise and so fulfill my destiny, yet it's not about me. And so fulfill my destiny. Yet it's not about me. It's about you, O Lord Jesus. Promise. This promise keeps me from being diverted. Come, promise of the Father. What is the promise of the Father? Who is the promise of the Father? I tell you, it's the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of Jesus who is the promise of the Father. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. That is how we should be. We should be praising and blessing God until he comes again in glory. Praising and blessing Jesus Christ the Lord until he comes in glory. I tell you, it's all so real. It's all so real. Have you received the promise from on high? Do you know the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Do you know that that Spirit wants to reveal to you Jesus Christ in a beautiful way? Do you know that that Spirit opens for us the Gospels and the Scriptures? Do you know that that Holy Spirit is the one who does the healing? Do you know that? Do you know that the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the Eucharist? That when the priest puts his hands over the elements, let your Holy Spirit come upon these gifts, that they may become for us the body and blood of Christ. Do you know the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead? Do you know that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you? Do you know that? Are you aware that you are carrying the Holy Spirit within your heart, that we are temples of the Holy Spirit? Are you aware of the power that is in you? Are you aware? I tell you, my friends, most people have no idea of the power that is within them, of the authority that is within them, of the love that is within them, of the presence that is within them. Come, Holy Spirit, make yourself real in our lives. Come, Spirit of Jesus, Spirit of adoption, come, dwell within our hearts, dwell within our lives, dwell within our whole being. Come, Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus ascended. He ascended into heaven so that he would send us the Holy Spirit. I thank you for listening to me. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the word of God, that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, that he is the Lord and he is the Savior. I need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.